Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7:45, quarter till 8. We've been spending some time talking about healthcare. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is asking you, and we would invite you to go to WWL.com and log on and cast your ballot. Are you satisfied with your health insurance? And as it stands now, as I check these results, 62% are saying yes. The remainder, 38%, are saying no. What happens locally as opposed to nationally as it relates to Louisiana? What about Medicaid? Where does that factor in all of this as it relates to healthcare costs and as it relates to people having coverage under Medicaid, going to the Medicaid expansion, et cetera? Dr. Walter Dublane, our friend, joins us, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, UNO. Good morning, Dub.
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me about the Medicaid expansion here in Louisiana. That's something that has come up during the governor's race. And I guess you could look at this two ways, right? You can look at it as the human side of it, the benefit to people that have insurance and or covered and otherwise wouldn't be. You can also look at it as, is it a net gain or loss financially to the people of Louisiana? Because explain all that, if you will, Dub, the model for me.
Sure. Well, again, it's certainly been good for the people that have it. Initially, 460,000, although we've seen that they weren't very careful when they signed people up, and a lot of people that were not eligible got signed up, and so they've 30 or 40,000 have been knocked off the rolls, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
But it's still the case that we have the highest. I mean, this is one of those areas where we're always last in everything. In the South, we actually have the lowest amount of uninsured people.
Really?
Compared to the other southern. Well, because we're one of the few southern states that did the expansion.
Oh, okay.
And so this is to be expected. So for the people that have insurance, this is a really good thing. For the state, it's still financially a very good thing because, you know, almost all of the money now and eventually 90% of the money is coming from the federal government. Well, and that's coming, so people are getting there, so that's creating jobs in Louisiana because people are going to the doctor that might not have otherwise gone, and that, you know, creates jobs in Louisiana for money that's basically coming from the rest of the country. You know, it is true that that eventually we'll have to pay for 10% of this expansion people, but the idea that the state of Louisiana can tax its people, and for every dollar we spend, the federal government gives us $9, I consider that a pretty darn good investment. So financially, this is good. And it also means that those people now are getting Medicaid dollars. If they didn't, they would be getting uncompensated care from the state. So it's actually a net benefit to the state treasurer and then a net benefit to the state economy. So this has been a very good thing.
So if they aren't on Medicaid, if the expansion had not occurred, people that are sick would do what? Go to an emergency room? And then if they were seriously ill or couldn't be discharged for whatever reason, then the hospital has to take them. They would wind up at Louisiana. What is it now? It's not Charity Hospital anymore, but that's where University Medical Center. So they would go there or to the equivalent in other parts of the state where the federal government would not be paying 90% of the bill or what have you. The state would be eating it. Is that accurate?
Right. Well, I mean, the federal government did give some money called disproportionate share money to the state. So some of that money was federal, but a bigger portion of it came from actually state money for the uncompensated care. And then the rest of it was simply eaten by the hospitals. The hospital just never got paid at all. You know, this has been a good thing.
But they treat the patient and pass the cost on to all of everybody else, do they not?
Right. Right. So, that some of that uncompensated care does show up in very indirectly in the form of higher premiums for people with Blue Cross and other private insurance. So that number has gone down. It's for the Medicaid expansion is probably fairly small, but it certainly is real.
And it hasn't gone up, right?
No, yeah. No.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the Medicaid expansion and healthcare as it relates to the VA, University Medical Center, Cancer Research Center, everything that's going on in Mid-City. And has that met the expectations that they thought it would? And does Medicaid expansion have anything to do with that? And if it has not met the expectations, what needs to be done for it to do so? Dr. Walter Dublane is our guest, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, and I'm proud to say it, UNO. Gotta say it, Clancy Dubose said UNO built the middle class of New Orleans, and I totally agree. I wouldn't be here but for UNO. 7:50, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:56, 4 before 8, Dr. Walter Dublane, our friend, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO, our go-to guy as it relates to the economy and healthcare. Dub, does the Medicaid expansion have anything to do with the success or failure of the hospitals? And I guess you got to look at the Mid-City development. I call it the VA Medical Complex. Is there an official name for it or not?
I don't know, not aware of one offhand.
All right, so everybody knows what we're talking about. Yeah. Does the Medicaid expansion have anything to do with that?
Well, not to with the VA. That's obviously completely separate. But it does with the University Medical Center. And again, because one thing that's special about that is when a Medicaid patient goes to University Medical Center, they are reimbursed for the full cost of the care. If they go to East Jeff or Oxner or someplace else, Touro, they get paid, those hospitals get paid a lot less for the same Medicaid patient. So that means for the University Medical Center, all those extra insured people are bringing fairly good payment. They're not getting rich off of it, but fairly good payment into their hospital. And there's a lot more of them. And if more of them goes to, now, of course, they could go to any hospital. But if more of them go to the UMC, then that's going to be very good for them because they built a huge facility out there that's vastly underused.
And that's what I was going to ask.
I haven't looked at their numbers, but I would think that's been a good thing for them.
In terms of the success of the whole complex, is there any way to evaluate that? And the only reason I ask, Dub, and this is completely unscientific and anecdotal, but it seems like when I drive by, there are a lot of empty parking spots. Now, I don't know if that's any indication or not. Have there been studies that have been conducted to see if it's meeting expectations or not?
No, I haven't seen that. That'd actually be a good thing for the PAR or some other group to look at. Because, again, there was a big vision for what that would happen in that complex down there that will be the next Birmingham, Alabama, UAB complex. But the problem was they built a building, but they didn't really do anything to build up the, it's really the doctors that bring the money and the patients in. And I'm not aware of anything they did to build up the LSU medical staff that inhabits that building.
We have to go. Let me ask you.
To do. So basically they built a building and kind of if we build it, they will come. But I said at the time that's not likely to happen, and I don't think it has.
Well, I'd love to talk to you again about that if somebody does issue a report. Thank you, Dub. I appreciate your time.
Sure.
Have a great weekend. You bet. Dr. Walter Dublane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater. I proudly say UNO when we come back.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.